Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. Well, you know the deal. It's Wednesday. We start the show playing the camel. We get towards the end of the show. We have a thing we call the Grand Council. So I got two of my brethren in talk radio who join me every Wednesday afternoon, and we ping each other with questions and just see where the chips fall. Let me just go ahead and call the roll real quick. From 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting out of Huntsville, allegedly other radio stations around the state. And oh, by the way, for Yellowhammer News, that would be Dale Jackson. Are you there? You are indeed. Stand at ease. And then, by the way, from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show and the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. All right. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, Big Rig.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da, ba-da. All right. Fellers, I'm going to go to Dale Jackson first. What you got for us, round one?
You know, if Donald Trump was president of the United States and he was talking about Juneteenth and how wonderful it is and how he's always been celebrating it and how his dad said, Joey, Juneteenth, it's important to us. You know, if he'd have done that whole thing, wouldn't they be playing clip after clip after clip of Donald Trump saying things that they would consider to be racially insensitive? Why don't we get that with Joe Biden? Why don't we get that? Because there's a pretty decent back catalog of Joe Biden's previous racial commentaries that they would probably find not acceptable.
Yeah, just, you know, hanging out with, who was it, Strom Thurmond? I mean, he just, you know, he's got all the
Robert
racist
Byrd.
Friends. Robert Byrd, that's who I'm trying to think of, yes. The other super old Democrat guy. I look at it and think, you know, it's just it's part of the disparity of who's in the media, the mainstream media. They're so inundated with liberal ideology that they won't report straight. And so they need to validate their own feelings and agendas more than they need to report news and give fair and balanced, you know, representation of the issues. But a guy who's fair and balanced is Jeff Poor. What say you, Jeff Poor?
Does it? I mean, we know the media are biased. Are they even relevant in this discussion, though?
Yes.
It's all said and done. Yes. I mean, do you think people are like, oh, remember that time the Donald Trump did this and this and this and
yes.
Joe Biden? I mean, I don't. I think it's just white noise to people.
I tell you what, though, it's a good thing that Al Gore invented the internet because now we're able to capture some of this and post it on social media so you can see it's there. Unless, of course, they call them deep fakes.
Yeah, but this is the problem, and I always mention this. They're still relevant because CBS, ABC, NBC all blow everyone away in their news coverage in the evenings, in the views they get, and they're out there pushing this cheap fake talk too. So yes, that stuff matters.
Let me just add this. I think those people are already. No one's like walking around undecided, are they?
Well, they rotted my mom's brain.
You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed how many undecideds are still out there. It's kind of sick, really, but they're still out there.
There's a lot of double haters. There's a lot of people that hate them both, and they're breaking towards Biden. That's a problem.
And there's also a lot of people that sit on one issue. Like, I only care about whether my student loan is going to get paid off. Nothing else matters. They don't have a statesman view of the issues. They have a single issue, and that's what they vote on. And who gives them the most stuff wins.
Well, let me just say this. I've been hearing this all my life about the media, but yet we elect Democrats, we elect Republicans. You say if the media weren't biased, we'd always elect Republicans?
No.
Probably. If it was 50, yeah, I'll answer. If it was 50-50... we'd have a supermajority Republican Senate.
Well, but I also think what you have to look at, too, is it takes a populist wave sometimes to overcome the noise from the mainstream media. 2010 being the example, the Tea Party movement, it grabbed hold of some stuff that the media couldn't hide from it anymore. And I think that's where you have to have the noise of the crowd to overwhelm the white noise of the liberal media. Next question, Jeff, what do you got?
I am curious to hear about this. I think I know the answer from one of you, but the other, your thoughts on Amtrak as a mode of transit.
Amtrak as a mode of transit. Well, allegedly it still rolls on rails. But how they pay for it is just, I mean, it depends on where you are. When I lived in D.C., you know, I rode the train into the Pentagon every day, and I get it. Mass transit on a train, and people commute into town from trains and all that. Down here, it is less relevant. It is not going to fit. No one's going to take a train from Mobile to New Orleans unless, like you said on a previous show, they want to get drunk at the Saints game and then have the train ride back. I see it as being a loser proposition for taxpayers, generally speaking. Dale.
I hate it. I hate the idea. And then they do this whole little shell game where it's like, well, the Port Authority is going to give $1 million. Then the governor is going to work with the legislature to get another $1 million. And then the morons in Mobile on the city council, they're going to give $1 million. And it's like, this is all taxpayer money. They're throwing this away into something they know isn't going to work just so they can get a ribbon cutting and say, I brought Amtrak back to Mobile. Okay. And the guy told you after 3 years, if you stop subsidizing it, we will take it away. That should have been the end of the conversation.
So, Jeff, are you in love with Amtrak, or where are you going with this?
Well, I lived in up north, or D.C. up north, I guess, as far as we're talking, and took Amtrak. I have been screwed so many times by Amtrak, and that's where it's supposedly reliable. It is not a reliable means of transit. I think people have this vision in their head that when they talk about Amtrak's coming back to Mobile, that we're getting like James Bond bullet trains or something, and it's not that at all. I mean, it literally is the choo-choo train. It slows down to 15 miles per hour through every little damn town, and you want to go from Mobile to New Orleans, hour and a half, 2 hour drive is going to turn into like a 3-4 hour train ride.
It's a waste of taxpayer dollars, and right now it ranks up there with, you know, having to wait in line to get your driver's license. I mean, it's not worth doing, and especially in the vast majority of the United States, it's not worth doing. Maybe in some of the major metro areas where there's a lot of commuters between, like, say, Baltimore and D.C., I get it, but not down here.
But they have commuter rail. They have the MART train that goes, you know, they don't – Amtrak is like – it goes, and you could stop and do that, but it's way, way more expensive. You could pay the, like, $4 to take the commuter rail.
I agree, man. I see it as being it's a turd burger. I say go ahead and get rid of it. Stop wasting our time. All right, last question for the end of this segment. This is flying by. All right, so I had State Senator Will Barfoot on my show yesterday. Jeff, I think you had him on the show also, your show. So Senator Barfoot and Representative Reid Ingram are floating a piece of legislation. They've already pre-filed it, so they're serious. They're floating a piece of legislation that if a local police department is not meeting muster, basically they're 30% down in their rank and file policing, and they're not covering down on crimes in their community, and the stats are hitting certain levels, that the state can come in and take over the police department. And so I got mixed feelings on this. My anti-big government side comes out big time, but then I also love safe streets. What say you, Dale Jackson? Did we lose Dale Jackson?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I'm here. I'm torn on this. I kind of want to stick the thumb in the eye of Birmingham and Montgomery and stuff and say, look, you guys have failed as cities and show people how much they've failed by putting someone in there who doesn't suck at their job or at least will do their job. But at the same time, I have the same issues you have. But I've mentioned this on another show. Just to be consistent, I was fine with them taking over some of these failing school systems and doing that. I don't know. I'm torn on it. But as of right now, it's clear there's something's broken and something has to be done. Maybe the threat will fix it. Hey, the threat made them actually care about kids reading. So maybe we just threaten them like that.
And to your point, there's a state department of education with a state school board that already has some measure of authority over local school systems anyway. But there's not necessarily, although we pass laws in Montgomery, there's not necessarily state enforcement authority in jurisdictional areas that are municipal only. So, Jeff, what say you?
I'm all for this. I think they got to. We can't have – we got like this woke ideologue. I don't even know what his qualifications are. Stephen Reed runs the city of Montgomery, other than he's the first black mayor. But this Joey Clark, who's a radio host down there, and I was talking on his show today talking about this. He really thinks what's going on here is we're going to see like a real ugly gang situation where MS-13 is going to come into Montgomery and you're going to have the existing gang structure there go back and forth. There's no way with the way the Montgomery Police Department is staffed that they're ready for any of that. The state is going to have to do something.
Well, and that's my concern is I think the state's going to have to do something because when you have Birmingham, and what, Bessemer, coming out on a list of the top five, two cities from Alabama, both in the top five nationally for crime. I mean, you can like have a 1 in 9 chance of getting, you know, being the victim of some form of crime in the city of Bessemer right now. That's awful. And then you got Montgomery, which is supposed to be the, you know, the pride and joy of Alabama. It's the capital city. It's where the seat of government, and it's just a freaking mess. So as much as I hate the big government mentality, I look at this as being something we may just sure enough have to do. All right, fellas, round one is complete. We'll take the break right now. Round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson and just little old me. You guys stay tuned. We're coming right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right, and we will be back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going right back now to round two of the Grand Council with Dale Jackson, Jeff Poore. Dale Jackson, first question, second round. What you got?
Yeah, I kind of want to stick on something we talked about last week, and it's a story they had at 1819 News, where our friends at the Alabama Political Reporter were still scummy dirtbags and losers, and they continue to get preferential treatment by the media. I ask this question. If there was evidence that the Phil Williams Show was taking pay for play, or excuse me, Right Side Radio, excuse me, it was taking pay for play, would our friends, our other friends, the C+J school grads, at AL.com and the TV stations in all these different towns, might they be interested in that in some way, shape, or form, especially if it was laid out right for them?
Well, how many times have those same, what did you call them, J-plus what?
C-plus J-school grads.
C-plus, oh, I got it now. Now I see what you're saying. Yeah, these C-plus, these mediocre journalism school grads, how many times have they said, who's funding 1819? Because they care. Because they realize they it's an agenda. We want to know who's funding 1819. You know, it's just, it's knuckleheadedness. But I look at this too, and I actually talked to a member of the legislature the other day. Yeah, and his. By the way, Jeff, this guy was asking me, hey, what can we do to, like, what do you think about that article 1819 with a political reporter getting all that money from the state? I said, man, how about this? Why don't you have a contract review committee, because they have those, and review the dollars that are being flooded out of state government into the coffers of a liberal organization like APR. And he's like, there's a thought. So I don't know if they'll do it or not, but they can. Jeff, weigh in.
Well, number one, I want to say this about the old dark money stuff. It is none of their damn business. It's nobody's business what people do with their money. It's private money. Here's where it's different. These people are actually taking taxpayer money.
Yeah.
And they're using it, and what I think is a wholly inappropriate way just to buy positive coverage. And they say, well, you know, they're paying for these PSAs to run on the V, and they have been doing it for years. And it's so, you know, is that where you want your money going? With all the problems of this state, we need to pay this ransom to these charlatans in Etowah County, and just for whatever reason, so they'll say nice stuff. No, and that's not how. And I'll say this: these people, every time they get a check written to them, they're not going to go away. You're just enabling them. If people would just stop taking them seriously, they would have to go find something else to do for a living.
All right, your own question, Dale. What are you thinking? Do we, Dale, stop muting yourself?
Of course they're protecting them. There's nothing, no other way to look at it. It is obvious that they are running defense for them. They run their story, so of course they'll run defense for them. And I just want to point this out. The charlatans from Etowah County are the Brits, not Phil Williams.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Just throwing that out.
Thank you for that clarification.
Correct the record.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I tell you what, Jeff, next question. What you got?
I got to get you to react to this, and it keeps the Joy Behars and Rachel Maddow, who are worried about getting like deported or kicked off the air or whatever it is, if Trump is elected, do they really believe that?
No. What hyperbole? They know for a fact there's no way in the world they can possibly say that he's going to come after us. He may not grant you an interview. How about that? That's about the extent of it. He may call you an ugly name on social media. That's about the extent of it. And the stuff they get away with already, and then they're concerned that. And by the way, how about this? Look at 4 years of Trump already. Did he deport you then? Why do you think he would deport you now? Well, he's coming back with a vengeance. No, he's not. He's coming back with a mandate, but he's not coming back with the idea of tearing up the Constitution, overthrowing government, and making sure that the press is no longer free. I think he respects the Constitution a whole lot more than the Biden administration. Dale.
Here's an alternate view. Maybe he should. Maybe he should run on the idea that I'm going to take him off the air. I'm going to lock him in a gulag. I'm going to do all these things. So it'll probably help him.
Well, that is a vote getter. I mean, if there are people that would go, yeah, I'm for that. Take me off the fence. I'm pretty sure they're already voting for Trump anyway, though. What up, Jeff?
I don't believe that Rachel Maddow believes it. She's smart enough to know better. I think that there's a possibility here because dumb people believe dumb things. Joy Behar is a dumb person. There are dumb people who watch The View that probably believe what she believes. So I think it's a kind of a mixed thing here.
Okay, last question, very little time. Illegal immigrants, twice in the last couple of days, we have seen violent crime perpetrated on innocents by illegal immigrants. And then we've seen local citizens track them down and hold them for the police. Are we about to see vigilante gangs going against illegal immigrants, Dale?
If it continues to be successful, yes, you're going to see it. That's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to see more of it.
Jeff?
I think you will. Yeah, I think there's vigilanteism in the works here. It just, look what happens, you know, in these things like the New York with the subway vigilante. We see this throughout our history, right? So I think it'll happen.
I think so, too. I think this is also part of the plan. It creates civil unrest. The unrest perpetrates violence, and they get to claim that as part of their mantra.
Oh, and then they'll go after the people who stop the bag.
Exactly. Just like January 6th. Okay. We're there. Somehow managed to bring January 6th into it. All right, guys. Appreciate you. Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor, and just little old me. We call it the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.